Well, there's no one here to notice, so that's fair.
Okay.
All right, today is Yud Zayin. So I'm going to start two lines from the bottom. I won't go through everything we did yesterday, but we were talking about, we mentioned the concept of a huksa kafra, someone who's a
guaranteed.
Someone who has a reputation that he's a liar, or he denies. Let's call it this way: he's denied things. So it came up yesterday, and we're talking about where the guy denies something, because when it was at Husa Gafron, so he went away. Just because someone's a Husa Gafron doesn't mean that he's forever never gonna pay. Anyway, so we'll say the Kafron, second line from the bottom. The Kafron, Hayilva Osala Yodan. Since we mentioned the word Kafron, Neymar ben Milsa will say something else about it. So this is a new statement. If Bezdin tell the litigant, go out and give him the money, and then after a while, they say no, and he says, I paid. His name, so he's believed. Because since Bezdin told him, go and pay, so he's got no more wiggle room. So if he then says, a couple of days later, I paid, so we believe him. He's not here. Sorry to disappoint you.
No, he's worried. You know what he tells us before.
Yeah, he did. On every answer, he said he's going to be away for a while.
Yeah, must have been.
I don't know. He said back and forward.
Yeah, he's going away. He's coming and going.
He should extend his visa to Australia.
He's not going to be here till Hashanah Rabbah, I think. Okay, so the guy, if the Bezdin says to the... We're starting from the bottom or just over the top of your Zion Amud Aleph. So the guy, if Bezdin tells somebody, go and pay, and he comes, and then after a while, they come and ask him, no, and he says, yes, I paid, then we believe him. Because it's likely that once Bezdin told him he has to pay, he doesn't have any more appeals or whatever, so therefore we can believe him that he paid. But the Rashi says that he has to make a shua seses, like a normal kofer hakoil. But aside from that, we'll take his word for it. But malva lichtoiv, and so if the malva comes along and says that I want you to write to me in a drachta that I want to start proceedings to reclaim properties, etc. We're not going to give it to him. So that's if Bezdin told him, go and pay. It was a very clear instruction, go and pay.
So we'll trust the Huchza Kafran, but we won't trust the Malva.
We haven't had a Huchza Kafran yet.
Wasn't that fellow who they said, save a tenner?
No, it wasn't Huchza Kafran. So the case is finished, and Bezdin said, we haven't said that yet. And he says, go and pay, so then we believe him. What if they tell him, Chayev atal ditenloi? They give him a general ruling, but they don't give him a clear instruction. So the difference between Bezdin saying you are obligated to pay, you've lost the case, versus a...
Go and pay
versus
now.
Like you get the bill, you pay, final notice. Yeah. So when he says, Bezdin only told him you have to pay, but didn't actually give him instructions, go and pay, so it's a subtle difference. The Omer Paraiti then, if he says later, I paid, then and then we don't believe him. Why? Because until he gets the actual instruction to pay... People don't pay until they get the invoice, sort of.
Bezdin says you have to pay. They don't mean 50 a time. They mean reasonable.
No, they mean the concept.
No, I mean you'll get an invoice. A kaviyachol, right? Not literally they'll get an invoice, but it's like when you get an invoice, you get a bill, you
it's
pay
obligated.
If you know a bill's coming, and you say you paid it in advance, then we don't believe you because people don't pay before they get the bill, sort of thing. Yeah. So when Bezdin say here's the bill, go and pay. Then he can believe him if he says, I paid it. But if he says, you're going to get a bill, chayev atal ditenloi, then he says, I paid it already, then ain't a nemon. And then in that case, ba malva lichtev, if the malva then comes, he says, I haven't been paid, I want to go and collect his properties, and he says, can you write me a star for that? Kaisa nicely, you would give it to him. Okay, so that was Rav Nachman, that was Rav Yosef Bar Minyamin, the name of Rav Nachman. Rav Zvir Mishmeid Rav Nachman Omar. However, Rav Zvir, the name of Rav Nachman, he says, no, Bein Seiten Le, whether he told, whether the person said, go and give it to him. That's a strict command. Bein Chayavata Liten Le, or whether you, or whether they just told him you're obligated to and you're going to have to pay. V'yama Paraiti, and he says, I paid. Nemo, we believe him, even in the case where they only told him you're Chayavata Liten Le. And therefore, Bo Malva Lichtav, if the Malva wants to come and write a shtar that he's going to go and collect mortgage properties, in case unless they won't give it to him. So there's no difference between the words Tzeitein Loi and Chayavat Alitin Loi. Because basically, Beis Din has decided, and therefore once Beis Din has decided, the guy gives up, he's okay, I have to pay, and he pays. And
so he accepts the obligation.
So we'll believe him if he says he paid, once he heard that from the words of Beis Din. Elo, says Rav Zvid, in the name of Nachman, Iikala Flugi, if you're going to make a distinction on different cases, when is he believed, when is believed, is hachihu de ikal flugi. It's the following distinction you can make. Omra loy tzeiten loy v'omra paraiti. If he says, if the bezin told him, go and pay, and he says, I paid. But ha'edim ha'edim ha'isoy shaloy paroi. Witnesses testify that he didn't pay. How can witnesses testify that somebody didn't do something? Because they witnessed that he asked him to pay outside of Beis Din, and he said, no, get lost. So then they say that's testifying that he didn't pay. They did have receipts, but he hasn't got one, obviously. There was a whole dispute about whether case from Shreva or not. Okay, but so far he hasn't got, there's no paperwork over here. All we've got is, he says, I paid, and Beis Din said, hang on, we saw you when he asked for the money, and you told him to get lost. So you didn't, so don't say you paid, right? So now, in this case, are you going to believe him or not? In a normal case, in a case where Beis Din says, pay, and he says, yes, I did, then we can believe him. Well, except if there's witnesses that when he asked for it, he told him, okay, fine.
Privately and paid. Privately
you should
paid.
Have a receipt.
And 1 minute. Receipts.
But once once witnesses saw that he came out the door, and the guy asked him for the money, and he said, Kushan Tochas, then is huchsa kafran la'ose momon. That means he has a chazakah. He has a chazakah. There's a chazakah that he's a denier
of that
particular money. So once he denied that money, then we're not going to believe him to say that he undenied and he paid it.
Doesn't mean he's a huchsa kafran.
That's right.
In this case,
for that case, yeah. So we don't believe him that I turn around and say I paid without any. Well, then, I got no proof that I paid, but I just did. Yeah. So then, because his chazaka is that he's not paying that one without a struggle. But if Beis Din told him, so that's if they told him what, go and pay. If they told him chayev atal itin loy, but if Beis Din's instruction was only that you're going to have to pay, you're obligated to pay. The Omar paraiti, and he says I paid. The edim eidim oisayish loy para, same deal. The witnesses say he asked for it and he said no. The chaz of Amar Paraiti, and then later on he says, I paid afterwards, then loy huksa kafran loy sem momen. He's not considered that he's a denier. So the difference is, when Beis Din told him, you go and pay right now, and the guy asked for it and he said, no such thing, then he's a huksa that he's a denier. But if Beis Din said, oh, you're going to have to pay someday because you're obligated to, and he said, and the guy asked for it and he said, no, and then he says, but later on I did pay, then we believe him. Because at the time when he said no, he hadn't yet had the invoice. Right? So therefore, he's got more wiggle room. My timer, so why do we believe him? Why do we say in that case he's not considered a huchsuk denier? Because ishtamuti hu kam ishtamut minei. He is just...
He's stalling for time.
Savar, he thinks, Beis Din hasn't actually given me the bill yet. So meanwhile, who knows what could happen? They've said I'm going to be chayiv, but they haven't sent the bill, so therefore maybe there's still hope that I won't have to pay it. So therefore...
Is it there's hope that I won't have to pay? Or I don't have the money now?
No, he has hope that I don't have to pay it. And therefore when the guy comes out the door and says, give me the money, and he says no, it's not because he's a denier. It's because he's waiting for the Beis Din to make a final statement. Because
usually, ishtamuti kodem ishtamut is he's stalling for time until he's got the money to pay the
bill.
No,
ishtamuti means he's slipping out of it. Literally, he means he's slipping out of it. No, he's slipping out of it because he thinks that there's still hope. Because Beis Din hasn't given him a clear instruction to go and pay yet. So when he says no, what he means is, no, I'm waiting until Beis Din will give me a clear instruction. If I don't get a clear instruction, I'm not paying yet. But then later on, if he says I paid, It's not like he was lying the first time. First time he was waiting. Now he's not. He says, that's okay, I stopped waiting, I paid. So then we can believe him. Okay, so that was that statement about a kafron. We wanted to mention something to do with the denying. So when is a guy considered a kafron if he deny? If he said no after Beis Din already gave him the bill? But if Beis Din hasn't given him the bill yet and he says no, then we don't consider him a denier. And when he gets the bill, if he says, I paid, then we believe him.
He's just a staller.
He's a staller, right. Okay, next. Amar Rabba Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Monali biyadcha. So the guy comes and claims, you owe me $100. And the other guy says, I don't owe you anything. And the witnesses say, yes, you do. The witnesses testify, you do owe him $100. And then, v'chazava amar paraiti. And then, later on, he comes and says, I paid. So he's changed his tune. First he says, I didn't owe it in the first place. And then after the witnesses come and disprove him and say, you do owe it, then later on he goes, oh, I paid.
Sounds like a very trustworthy guy.
And so we don't believe him then. Who's the kafron lo'isa moment? Because since he first claimed that it never happened, we don't believe him to suddenly say, yeah, I paid. Yeah,
Yesterday
you said you didn't know it, so what do you mean you paid? Yeah. Ki hada shabsai berei derav marinus. Shabsai, the son of Rav Marinus, kosov lo lekalose itzta lo demilsa b'chzubasa. She wrote, when she came into the marriage with Shabsai, she came into the marriage, and they wrote in the Ksuba that she's got this silk, what's it called, pashmina, you know, gown. So she, gown,
was it,
whatever, some kind of garment, a silk garment she had, which was written in the Ksuba that she's bringing it into the marriage. And so the husband's responsible to look after it. The kibla alei, and Rab Marinus the shver accepted responsibility that if his son isn't looking after him, he will look after it. He took on himself the responsibility of looking after this expensive garment. Yeah, and then what happened was they got divorced. The son died. Somehow the son was out of the picture, and she comes to the shver and says, Where's my silk garment? And Irkus Ksubasa. But she lost the Ksuba, unfortunately for her. The Omar, he said, he says, what are you talking about? I don't know anything about any silk garment. Is Asu Sadi, the Omri. Witnesses came and said, Ain, Kasavla. Yeah, it was in the Ksuba. We haven't got the Ksuba in front of us, but we saw it. The Ksuba says that. So, in other words, you got to pay. If you lost the garment, you took on yourself responsibility, you got to pay for it. Lesoif, and then eventually, Amalahu Paraiti. He said, oh yeah, I paid. That's right, I forgot. Now my claim is that I paid. Also, the comment of Chia, they came to Rav Chia, Amalahu Zakta Kafran Laisa Yitzala. Once you said it never happened, now you're a Kafran, you're a denier, and therefore you can't just say, oh, I paid. Because if you were denying it, you didn't pay.
Until such time as you pay.
Well, you've got to pay with witnesses. Status. Now that you're in that boat where you've denied it, we're not going to believe you unless it can bring witnesses that you paid.
What an arrangement. Don't you be responsible for the garment?
That's a very expensive thing.
Well then why should look after it? She bought into it.
Because when people get married, they're in a good mood, and they make all sorts of commitments to each other, and everybody thinks they're going to live happily ever after.
But this is Rabbi Marinus Lochayla. He's talking about a Talmud Chacham here. Talking about somebody, a Bal Madrega.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Chia says, well, Zakta Kafran, you...
Kafran,
you made yourself a denier.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't mean that he's a Russia.
No, he's a Russia. I'm saying in this circumstance...
Well, maybe he forgot. Maybe
the law's on the other side.
Maybe he simply forgot about it.
Could be, yeah.
Maybe it was a long time later. Who knows?
You're right. This episode could have taken place over many, many years.
Could have been
years.
30 years later.
Exactly.
And he says, I don't remember what's garments you
what
had.
Was
when
it in the, what we wrote into
I'm
the
supposed to remember what dress you were wearing when you got married. I mean, I don't know. So that doesn't mean he's a liar. Okay, next. Amar Rav Abin, Amar Rav Eloyim, Rav Yechanan. Haya chayv l'chaveri shvua. If a person, so that till now we're talking about where somebody had to pay money and he denied, and therefore is he a kafir or not? Here's an interesting twist. If a person is obligated to swear to his friend, the guy is a certain, whatever circumstance it was, where the psak was that he has to swear that he doesn't owe the money. The Omar nishbati, and he claims, I swore already. The witnesses say he didn't swear. is huchzer kafrim loyter shvur. So now we have the concept of a denier for the oath. Yeah, we talked about a guy who denied the money, denied the oath. So now we're not going to believe him later on to say that he swore, unless he has witnesses. Amrua kamed Rabbi Abahu. They repeated this statement of Rabbi Yochanan before Rabbi Abahu, or what Rabbin said in the name of Rabbi Loi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. It's Amalahu. So he said back to them, "Istavra milsa de Rabbin." Probably, it's logical to say that this statement of Rabbin is implying is applying shenischayiv shvur bebezdin, when the original obligation to swear came out of something that happened in Bezdin, and Bezdin said you have to swear. Avachiv atzmei shvur. But if he just offered to swear, yeah, the guy comes to him and claims, and he wasn't in court. There was just a discussion in the corridors. And he says, I'll swear to you that I don't owe you the money. So he offered off his own bat, and then he was asked to swear, and he said no. And then later on he said, yes, now we can believe me. It's not called a kafran. Why? Sometimes a person will say no, because it wasn't a bezdin telling him to do it. It was his own offer. So he might have said no today. And tomorrow he says okay, and he does it. So therefore, we can still believe him. So that was what Rabbi Abin said. Rabbi Abahu said is probably that's the case we're talking about. Ahadrua kamed Rabbi Abin. So they went back to Rabbi Abin and said that Rav Chia said that your statement in Emre Bechelen only applies when it was a Bezdin oath, but not a self-inflicted oath. So he answered them, yes, I know Nami based on Nami. Yeah, that's what I meant. That's right. He got it right. So everybody's happy. Itmar Nami. And we also have the statement, Amar Rababin, Amar Rabiloi, Amar Rabiyechidon, Hayachav Lachaveh Shua, Bi Bezdin. That we actually have a clear. Rababin then said clearly, said it again, but this time he said it clearly. Yeah, that if the oath was obligated in Bezdin, Va'amar Nishbati, and he claims he swore already, Va'edim, Edim, Eshachaloy Nishban, the witnesses testify that he didn't. And then he wants to later on say that he did. So it's only if the oath was in Bezdin, because once he's prepared to deny that he has to, even when Bezdin already told him that he has to, then we consider him a denier. And if he comes back tomorrow and says, "Oh, I swore already," then we don't believe him without any witnesses. Okay, next. Someone finds a contract of a loan of a debt in the market in the street. The chasid by henpik, and it's got on it a stempel that it was confirmed by Bezdin. The signatures of the witnesses were stamped that Bezdin investigated the signatures, and they confirmed. Yeah, so it's a very strong, watertight contract. Yeah, but the only problem is that it was found lying in the street. Yeah, the chasid by zmano by bayoim, and the date in the contract is today. Yeah, so it would seem the guy sort of lost it as soon as he came out of Bezdin, yeah? And the contract date is today. Is Yachziru the Bailim. And then you can give it back to the person who's the Bailim here means the lender.
Malva, yeah.
The Malva, the lender, yeah? Why? Because what are you worried about? Imishum kos of Lilvas Vlay Lava, if you're worried that maybe it was a contract that was drafted up to getting ready for a loan, and the loan never took place, and therefore you shouldn't give it back to the lender. Hakasuv bohempik. But it wouldn't have been confirmed by Bezdin. If it hadn't actually taken place, Bezdin wouldn't have confirmed it. So Bezdin gave it the stempel. That means it must have the loan actually took place. So there's no problem with that. Imishum piroin. Ah, you're worried maybe he's already paid it and he should give it back to the borrower? The priya basyoim ulei chashinon. Yeah, even Rabbi Yochanan was the one who says that we are worried about paying. Shmuel says, b'chlal, we don't worry that if you find a contract that was paid.
Nobody pays back a mortgage on the day that they took
that's
it.
That's right. Rabbi Yochanan says, even Rabbi Yochanan says that if you find an old contract, it's possible it's been paid, but if the date of the loan was today, you don't have to worry that he's paid it back already, because he only borrowed it today. There's Amalet of Zerah, the Ravasi, Zerah asked Ravasi, Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan say that? Atu, the heart of Mishmeh, Rabbi Yochanan, you said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shtar Shalava Bayu Poroi, that if a person borrows money using a particular contract, and then he pays it, yeah? And then, so the contract says that Reuven owes Shimon $100, and then Reuven paid it back, and Shimon gave him back the contract, let's say, and now Reuven wants to again borrow $100, and he's already got a contract with the same details. So you know what? I'll use the same contract. What do I have to get the sofer to run another contract for and pay you all these costs? I'll just give you the same contract again. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Ein echezev alav aboy. You cannot use that contract, that piece of paper anymore. Shekvar nimchal shibudoy. Because a contract, don't forget, has a mortgage in it, either explicitly or implicitly. And therefore the obligation of that contract has been...
The shibud, you mean the lien on the property? On either Karko, Matash,
or whatever it might be. Yeah, so...
What's the guarantee of the contract?
Yeah, it's not... It's the shibud means the mortgage, yeah? So it's got... It's lost its power as a contract because once it's been paid, so that's gone. And you can't just use the same paper again and expect to take back and get that shibud again. So that's what... So he says... So what's the question? So Rav Zera is saying to Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan says that you can't reuse a contract. It's Amos. And when was Rav Yochanan... So he says to Rav Asi, so when was Rav Yochanan talking about? When was it that he wants to reuse the same piece of paper? He says, but it really means next day. Right? If he wants to do it on a different day, the next day, to the day after. So what do you have to give the excuse that he lost the... It lost its validity. My ear, Yeshakvar Nimchal Shibud. Why do you have to give the reason? Because the Shibud, the obligation that's implicit in that star, has been lost. Typically, anyway, you can't give the same star the next day to Havale Muktam. Because the date is today. You can't use a star for a loan tomorrow. That's predated because there'll be an obligation of a mortgage predating the loan, which is invalid. Vitznan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Shitre Chev Amukdom in Absolut. So therefore, to say he can't use the star again on a later date, you don't need any reasoning. It's obvious that he can't use a star with the early date in it beforehand. Elolav. So it must be, why does he think he... Why would you think that he could use it? Because it's biyoyme. It's on the same day. In the morning, he borrowed $100. He wrote a star. He paid it back at lunchtime. And 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he says, I want to borrow again. He's the same contract again. So Birchman says, you can't do that. Yeah? So what do you see from that? It's possible he borrowed in the morning and he paid it back at lunchtime. It's Alma Pori in Chibiyomi. So we see there is a possibility that a person could pay it back on the same day. So what are you making this assumption that if the contract is dated today, he didn't pay it back? Sometimes a person might. It's Amalei. Who was it? Ravashi says back to him, Mika Minadle Pori Cloud. Did I say that no one ever, 100%, no one ever pays back on the day? What I meant is, it's not usual. You're worried about a chashash, yeah? That we should be chashash, that maybe somebody paid it, that's too far-fetched, as they say. And therefore, we're not going to worry about it. He'll give it back. If you find a lost contract, so you're entitled to assume it didn't pay.
Based on an occasional, perhaps, occurrence.
Yeah, a one in a million wants to pay back on the same day. So then you don't worry about that to say, don't give it back to the lender. But if you want to give me a hypothetical where someone did pay it back on the day, can he use the star again? I'll tell you no. But it's possible to happen. Does it mean that we have to worry that it happened in a particular case? No. But if you ask me what happens if, I'll give you an answer. It's two different things. Okay, Rav Kahana Omar Kishachayev Moida. Rav Kahana says no. That thing... what was Kahana talking about?
That may return to the
when case. He says he can give it back, Rabbi Yechanan says he can give it back, so that's on the day, because he lost it on the day. He's talking about when the borrower agrees that he didn't pay it back. So the Gemara says, if the borrower agrees he didn't pay it back, Maila Memra.
There's nothing to talk about.
What they talk about?
He's committed himself to the help.
Well, the contract was written today, and it's lying in the street, and the lender says, oh, that's my contract. The borrower says, yes, you're right, it is your contract. We just wrote it. We just walked out of the sofa's office. So, he agrees. So, what's the problem? Mila Memra answers, the Gemara, Mahu de Tema, you might have thought that Hai Mifra Pori. You might have thought, no, he paid it already. But Hai de Ka'oma Le Parati, so why is he saying I didn't pay it? Mishum de Kaboy Meheda, the Misfa Bezim Nachrisi. Because he has paid it. He borrowed it in the morning. And he paid it back at lunchtime. And the Malva then he lost the contract. Yeah? And why does he be moide? Because he doesn't want it to lose its validity. Because he knows the halacha is that if I say I paid it already, then it's not valid anymore. but he wants to reuse the same piece of paper. Or the pshitya de safrachai. She doesn't want to have to go pay Eli Gutnik to write another shtar. Kamash Malon. So therefore, that's what you might have thought. Kamash Malon. Therefore, it teaches you to im kain, because if it's what he wants to borrow again using the same piece of paper, malva gufe le shavak. We don't worry about that, because the malva, the lender, wouldn't allow him to reuse the same contract, because Savar, he also knows the halacha, and he thinks shami berabanan, the chachamim will find out it was the same, the bezdin will find out it was the same contract. Okay. Then I'm going to lose out. So he wants to save money on the sofer. So, bad luck for him. He wants to borrow again, let him pay it again. Because, yeah, if they find out that it happens to have been paid already, they'll parcel it. And he's not going to take chances. So he says, you want to save money on a sofer? Bad luck. I'm not taking a chance.
If you find it, you should return.
Therefore, it couldn't be... Oh, so that's the... So therefore... No, therefore, if you find it, you should return it.
You should, I said.
You should, because there's nothing
the
to...
Because the valve is not going
to
do anything.
There's nothing to worry about. There's no chance that he's going to reuse it. Yeah, so therefore, therefore, if he agrees that he hasn't paid it, then he really hasn't paid it. And give
it
back to the valve.
You can only use it for one purpose, and that's it.
Yeah. But the get is exactly the cost of the Torah commands.
Yeah.
It has to be cost of law. It has to be specific
no,
to her.
But he's saying
a reusable contract in theory.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. If a person divorced his wife and remarries her and then wants to divorce her again with the same piece of paper, he can't do it. It's the same thing. Yeah. Okay. Freddy Gemara Viter, Maishna Behadetznan, and all in the same day, don't forget. Maishna Behadetznan. Why is that different from the following Mishnah? Motza Shitra Kaiv, a person finds a contract in the street, if there's a mortgage included in that contract, then he shouldn't give it back to the malva.
Your son will pick it up for you.
Bye. He shouldn't give it back. He shouldn't give it back to the malva if it has a mortgage. Well, kimna, and we said there also is kishachayev maida. We said even when he agrees, when the borrower agrees, you shouldn't give it back to the lender, yeah? Yeah, and why did we say you shouldn't give it back to the lender? Umishum, it was because Shema cost of Lilvas ben Nissen, maybe they wrote it in with a date of Nissen, because that's when they were talking about it. But lo lava tishim, maybe he didn't borrow until Tishrei. V'asa the mitzvah l'kuchas ben Nissen v'atishrei. And the lender is going to go and claim from people who bought that mortgage property any time between Nissen and Tishrei, shalai kedin.
Because he hasn't picked up the loan yet.
Yeah, maybe he hasn't lent him the money yet. But Loyamina, why don't we say over there the same thing? The im kain, that because this contract, if the Bezdin would know what happened, they would make it possible, yeah? Because it's muktam. So why are you worried that he's going to use it and it's possible? Why don't we say the same thing? That malva gufa loyshavik, that when the malva himself will not be happy with this piece of paper, the Amalek Seif Shtarachrin Ibe Tishrei is going to tell the lender, write another contract with the right date in it, with the date of Tishrei. The Malva himself does not want to use a contract that is predated, even though it would benefit him, because he can get the properties off the buyers early, but he knows there's a risk because the Shtar is possible, yeah. And he'd rather have a kosher contract than one that's fraudulently gives him an advantage. The Dilma Shomir Rabbanan. Why don't we say that? Well, why don't we say that anyway? Why don't we say maybe the Bezdin will hear, or Mafsil, and he wants to, and he'll lose out. So why are you worried that it's a Shtar Muktam? Man, why don't we say the same logic, that the Malva will not allow a Shtar Muktam because he doesn't want to take a chance that he's going to lose if they find out that it's invalid?
In that case, he was more responsible for that happening. He held back the money. This case,
no, but maybe no.
The
maybe
they, everything right.
The fellow didn't come to collect the money.
No, it's not necessarily his fault. Maybe the guy was trying to buy a house, and that one fell through, and he doesn't need the money until 6 months.
Or the negotiations take a long
time.
Something
took a long time, so he didn't lend him the money until 6 months later. That can happen.
But meanwhile, the Malva has theoretically the right to go and claim his property.
That's right, and that's why the Shtar is not kosher, because he shouldn't be allowed to collect the property from the buyers. Yeah. So why aren't we worried in that case also? Is Omri? I'm sorry. Why are we worried? And we don't say the Malva wouldn't allow it. There we are worried, and we're saying maybe the Malva would allow it. Yeah. So does the Malva always want to not use an invalid star or not? Make up your mind. Is Omri? So he answers, Hossam over there, when it's a 6 month benefit, yeah, he's going to be entitled to claim the fields for 6 months. That's a pretty big benefit. is Bishum de Islay Ravcha, because there's a lot of Revach, there's a huge profit. The Katarif Lakuchis Menisim Yatishra, he can now go and claim mortgage properties for 6 months worth. He'll take a chance with an invalid contract. But Leyam Olevim, he's not going to say, no, write another contract. But Hacha, but in the case where it was on the same day, he wants to reuse it. Kevin, the last day Ravcha, here the lender doesn't gain anything. The borrower wants to reuse the same piece of paper in the afternoon that I used in the morning. The lender gains nothing from this. Yeah? It's safe, Shtar Ha'idnaksi, because on the same date, he's gaining, not only doesn't gain 6 months, he gains exactly zero. Yeah? So therefore, he's not going to do it. Take out the words, my. So he doesn't want to go you're going to say what? He's going to be able to go and collect from buyers, but he knows that the contract is invalid, and he's worried that Bezdin will find out the contract's invalid. He's got nothing to gain and everything to lose, so he's not going to allow it to happen. And therefore, if the guy admits, we must assume that the loan has not been paid, and he can give it back to the lender. Okay, full stop. Next, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Hatoyin Achar Maisa Bezdin. Someone claims after Maisa Bezdin. What does after Maisa Bezdin mean? So Rashi explains, it means something that Bezdin require, for example, a ksuba, or if a person has to give money to the wife or the daughters, etc. And he's toyin, I paid. So it's something that it's imposed on him by Bezdin. It's a tnai Bezdin that he has to pay money. And he claims he paid without any witnesses. Yeah? So if he's toyin achar ma'isa bezdin, turn the page. Lo yamar klum. We don't believe him to say that he paid without any witnesses.
So if he wants to pay, he either has to have witnesses or a star that a kamala.
He has to have witnesses. Yeah, or he can have a receipt, I suppose. Yeah, according to those who agree, there's a machlekes whether kais fin shreva or not. Yeah, but he has to have witnesses, a proof, some proof. My timer. Why does he need proof? Bakol ma'isa bezdin k'mad the nakid star biyadi domi. Just like when a person has it, when the malva has a star. Yeah. And he says, you owe me money. And the guy says, I paid. And the malva's got the star in his hand. We don't believe him. So here, even though there's no star in the hand, but because it's a tnai bezdin, it's as strong as if the claimer has a contract in their hand. And therefore, we don't believe the other guy to say, we don't believe the husband or whatever to say he paid without either a receipt or witnesses or whatever. Yeah, Rashi actually mentions a receipt in this case. Okay, so there's a machlokes, but it's a receipt or some proof that he's paid. It's Amal Rav Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba says, Rabbi Yochanan, what are you telling us to Chiddush? V'lo Mishnah Seinu Huzei? Isn't that what the Mishnah is telling us? What's the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Haitziya get. A woman brings out her get. Ve'ein imay ksuba. She does not have a ksuba with it. Just a get. Is goyva ksuba. So she still can claim her money from the ksuba because she can prove that she's divorced, so therefore he has to pay her the ksuba. Yeah? Maybe he paid it already. Yeah? She doesn't have the actual contract of the ksuba. All she has is the get. So why can't he claim I paid it? So that's what we're saying. Because it's a tnai bezdin that he has to pay the ksuba, he has to have proof that he paid it. And if he doesn't have proof, we don't believe him just to say I paid. So that's a Mishnah, so it says Rav Chiya bar Abba to Rabbi Yochanan. As Amar Leis, Rav Chiya bar Abba says, you're right, that is what the Rabbi Yochanan says, that is the Mishnah, but he loved the loy lo chaspa, if I wouldn't have picked up the piece of clay, le mishkachta marganisa tois, he wouldn't have found the diamond underneath it. Yes, now you know it's the Mishnah, but until I told you that halacha, you didn't work out that that's what the Mishnah is saying, did you? So I helped you understand the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my marganisa, Rabbi says, what sort of a diamond? Lost for a diamond, it does. Dilma, maybe that's not what the Mishnah means. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about Mokim She'en Kais Fing Suba Askinon.
Why does Abaya always have to get a word?
Abaya, that's the way Abaya works. Abaya says maybe it's talking about where the custom is that they don't actually write a ksuba down on paper. The get, Hainu Ksubasa. That therefore, when a woman brings the get, that is her proof that he owes the ksuba. Avo Mokim She'en Kais Fing Suba. But in a place where the custom is they do write a contract of a ksuba. Maybe inakita ksiva gavi loy gavi. If she has the ksuba, then she can claim. If she hasn't got the ksuba, she cannot claim. It's harder. I'm Rabbiya love milsi adarmi. Now that Rabbiya got his words in, he says, actually, I changed my mind. My question is not a question. The isot the daita because if I was right one of my first thing that I said, that the Mishnah is talking only in a place where they don't write a ksuba. But in a place where they do write the ksuba, in a kita ksuba gavya loy loy gavya, that is, and only if she has a ksuba she can claim it, if not, not, is almana mina erisin with my gavya. How can a woman,
if she's a widow
from erisin, she never had a ksuba? She never has a piece of paper. Yeah. She's entitled to the money, but she doesn't get the piece of paper at the erisin. So she'd never be able to complain. The only way she could do it, but eidei misas baal. When there's, she'll prove that the husband died, because she's an arusa. How's she going to prove the husband died? Litoin, that means the orphan, not the husband, he's dead. Yeah, if the husband claims I'm alive, the witnesses say he's dead, but the husband comes and says, no, I'm alive, we'll probably believe
rumors
him.
Rumors of my death are greatly
we'll probably believe him, yeah? So when it says litoin here, that he'll claim, it means not the husband. Yes, I died, but I paid the ksuba. We won't believe. But if the orphan says, the orphan say, I paid.
Yeah, she's come to claim the ksuba from the son.
From the son. Why don't we believe him to say, I paid? Yeah? If you're saying that in a place where there's a ksuba, that he has to prove it. If without a contract, you can't claim it. Yeah? And if you'll say that's true, he can claim that. So what good is it to say that an arusa gets a ksuba if all the orphan has to do is say, I paid it, and he's believed automatically? So it must be that they can get the ksuba even without a ksuba being written. Okay. Next, so we've taken on Bepashtus an assumption that a widow from Erisin gets a ksuba. So he says, "Amonam in Erisin, the isla ksuba min olan." Where did you actually get this assumption that a widow from Erisin gets a ksuba? Ilem mehoratnan if it's from this Mishnah. Nisamblin is garsha, a woman who's a widow or divorced. Bayman Erisin, Bayman Asuin. Whether she was Erisin, whether it was Asuin, goves akol, she collects everything, meaning the ikur ksuba of the 200 bucks. Plus any additional amounts that he wrote in there, the Tosefos, Dilma, maybe that's different. Hey, the cost of law, that's only talking about where she's got a written contract. The Chitema Maila Memra, if you'll tell me that if she's got the written contract, what's the Chidash to say she can claim with it? La Fuki, with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, to say that we don't agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Omar Shalai Kosov La Ella Banas La Koinsa. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that even if the ksuba was written at the time of Erisin, she cannot claim it because when he wrote that ksuba, he had in mind only on condition that we're going to have nisuin later. He doesn't want to just throw his money out. Yeah. So when he writes it, even though he wrote it at the time of Erisin, but he meant that it's on condition that of nisuin. So therefore, you would have thought it's trichale. So we need to tell me that we don't agree with that, and that if he didn't get nisuin, she's still entitled. And Deikonami, and you can actually see that that's true. The Katani goves akoil. It says she collects everything. What's everything over here? The cost of law, if there's a ksuba written, that's why there isn't everything. There's an ikur, and there's a tesefes. There's additional amounts that he wrote in the ksuba. If he didn't write anything, turn the page. There isn't any everything here. What everything? If you're just talking about the tznai bez, then it's only the 200 bucks. The only way to get tesefes is to write it down. So therefore, you cannot prove from that she gets the... that you would get a ksuba even if it wasn't written down. We'll continue tomorrow.